Whoa, yo, good catch, good catch. I want to also thank Jim Hyde, who blessed me by giving me the last talk on a long day on a Saturday afternoon. What's the story about the guy who's about to be tarred and feathered? And he said, if it wasn't for the honor of the occasion, I'd just as soon skip the ceremony. So it's been a long day. Everybody, stand up. Turn that way. 10-second back rub to the guy next to you. Just get those thumbs in. Kind of moving in. Yeah, that's right. Okay, good. Listen hard. All right, 10 seconds up. Flip around the other way. Good hard. Get that shoulder action coming in. All right, good. Well done. All right. Okay. So have a seat. There you go. We're gonna get us all awake anyway. I'm gonna give you guys a little treat. Don't worry, I'll still get you out of here on time. But you know, we've been talking a lot about the importance of teaching and the logos, the eternal word. But I really also want to tie that into this is the year of faith. This is the year in which God has called us to be active in promoting the new evangelization. Teaching is great, don't get me wrong. I love teaching. I was a teacher. I've done a lot of teaching, and it's important for us to understand. But it also is important that it gets our heart, because we're holistic creatures. We're not just minds. So I just want to share with you, brothers, something that I was inspired by.
The recording.
Oh,
you can take the mic.
Yeah, okay, this is going to be tough, because it's going to be tough, as you'll see. I'll do my best, bro, just for you. Okay. Look what you make me do. You're my brother, and I love you, but. So, I was real inspired when Father Dave was preaching. Didn't you guys feel it in your spirit? It does something to you. When you hear good preaching, it motivates. It gets you inspired. And I believe the Lord has some gifts here for each one of you brothers. You know, David Ladisa, God wants to use you as a preacher. Tim Gassaway, God wants to use you to inspire people in his word. I want to share with you, for example, just recently, Brian Bensel talked about the parable of the prodigal son, right? Now, he gave a very good teaching. And remember, a few years ago, we had that painting by Rembrandt, and we went into great detail on what it was. And that's a good thing. But you can also preach on it in a way that brings people's life into their hearts, into changes their hearts. And that might sound something like this if you went for it. Now take this. I'm not trying to entertain you. I'm trying to inspire you, brothers. This has to be something that we do and that we can pass on. Young man, your arm's too short to box with God. But Jesus spake in a parable, and he said, once there was a man who had two sons. Now, Jesus didn't give this man a name. But his name was God Almighty. Jesus didn't give these two sons a name. But every young man everywhere is one of these two sons. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. And the younger son said to his father, Father, divide up the inheritance. And give me my portion now. The father, with tears in his eyes, said, Son, don't leave your father's heart. Don't leave your father's home. Oh, but the boy was stubborn in his head and haughty in his heart. And he took his father's inheritance. And he went off to a far-off land. Oh, there comes a time. There comes a time. Does there come a time? There comes a time when every young man gets a longing for that far-off land. And the young man said to himself as he walked away, ooh, this sure is an easy road. Nothing like the hard furrows behind my father's plow. Oh, yeah. Young man, young man. Smooth and easy is the road that leads to hell and destruction. Ain't no need to trudge or toil and sweat. You just slip and slide and slip and slide till you bang up against hell's iron gate. And as the young man walked along, he saw a light off in the distance. and the lights were over this city, and ooh, there was noise, and there was music, and there were people coming on, and there were men laughing, and they were dancing, and they were singing, and there were women flirting with their jasmine clothes and their hyacinth breath, and the man grabbed one of the passersby and says, ooh, tell me, what city is this? Why, don't you know? This is Babylon, Babylon. That great city of Babylon. Come along with me, my friend. And the young man, he joined the crowd. Young man. Young man, you're always in a crowd in Babylon. You're never alone in Babylon. You can never find a lonely place where you can get down on your knees and talk to your Jesus, because you're always in a crowd in Babylon. And the young man took to the dancing dens, and he had a gay old time. And the young man found the drinking dens, swallowing the fires of hell. And then the young man met the gamblers, rolling dice with the devil for his soul. Oh, and then the young man met the women. Ooh, the women of Babylon, all dressed in purple and scarlet, lips just dripping with honey. And the smell of the jasmine women got into his nostrils and went to his head. And they stripped him of his money. They stripped him of his clothes. And they left him dark and lonely and broken in the streets of Babylon. Then the young man joined another crowd. He joined the beggars and the street people. And he took to feeding hogs, and he was hungrier than the pigs. And not a hog in Babylon was too low to turn up his nose at the young man in the mire and the muck of Babylon. And then one day the boy came to himself. He came to himself and he said, in my father's house there are many mansions. Every servant has food to eat. Every servant has a bed to sleep. I will arise and go to my father. And the father saw him coming afar off, and he ran out to greet him. He put a ring on his finger, and he put a coat on his back. He put shoes on his feet and killed the fatted calf and invited the neighbors in. Oh, young man, when you're running through the streets of Babylon, playing the games of Babylon, running with the women of Babylon, you forget about death, God, and you laugh at death. Today you got the strength of a bull in your back and the strength of a bear in your arms, but some of these days you're going to have a hand-to-hand struggle with bony death. And death is bound to win. Oh, sinner, leave the streets of Babylon. Leave the gambling dens of Babylon. Leave the hot-mouthed women of Babylon. Fall down on your knees and say in your heart, I will arise and go to my father. Amen. I told you that so I could tell you this. What we're about is understanding the face of Jesus, coming into his presence, unveiling his face. And so you might reasonably ask me, Jeff, why a talk on the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the middle of a presentation about Jesus? How does that fit? Well, let me give you three purposes of talk. As Robert Moriarty says, beware of anybody who says he doesn't have an agenda. Here's my agenda. I want us to understand what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is, especially how it differs from his gifts. We're very aware of the gifts. Let's understand the fruits a little bit. Second, I want to guide us in a self-examination to identify what the Holy Spirit wants to cultivate in us. I'll explain why in just a minute. and finally, to motivate us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that we may experience more of his personal power and grace as we pursue holiness and be more effective in our service to others. Bob Hover, I think on that table out there, there's a box with a bunch of blue cards in it. Get those ready. I'll be coming up to them in about 8 minutes here. So the Spirit transforms us, in the words of Larry Crabb, from the inside out. We've talked a lot about being made in the image and likeness of Jesus. We become like him in the image. Now, it's easy for us to think of image as like a picture. But the image that's used there in the scripture is the same word that's used when God created man, male and female, he created him in his own image. He created them. We are made in the image of God. Dogs aren't made in the image of God. Caterpillars aren't made in the image of God. Even angels aren't made in the image of God. It's us. We are made in the image of God. And God does that on purpose because we have a part of his Spirit in us. A little bit of background to this passage about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, it's been talked about a little bit already. The Galatians were a little bit wild, and Paul was trying to correct some excesses that he observed in them. They were walking in the flesh, as we've talked about, living like the society around them. Galatia was a town that, like many of the towns in the Roman Empire, was filled with a lot of excesses and a lot of fleshly pleasures. But the true mark of the Spirit that Paul was looking for and that he's emphasizing in Galatians 5 is walking in fruit, which is different from gifts, the fruit that reveals who you are. Now, every year, I, like probably all of you, we get a Christmas tree and we put gifts underneath it. Do those gifts tell me anything about what kind of tree I have? How can I tell what kind of tree I have? You look at the fruit. That's how you identify the kind of tree that it is. Matthew chapter 7. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The obvious answer is. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down. I don't like that. I don't want to be cut down. So fruit provides others with an ongoing blessing. You know, typically it takes about 5 years for a fruit tree to start bearing fruit. But once mature, it can bear fruit for 20 years, nectarine, 35 years for an apple tree, 100 years for a pear tree. It produces one of the law of the harvest. Not only do we reap what we sow, but we reap more than what we sow. So, in the middle of Galatians 5, Paul says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Against such things, there is no law. This is what we go after. We've talked a little, thank you, Dick, very much for that excellent talk about how Jesus reveals himself through his word. The word muttering that he used, it's similar to the word meditate. And the word meditate, I've read this in some other sources. This is one that will work in this audience that might not work in some other audiences. The word meditate, anyone knows what very graphical farm activity does that relate to? Yes, chewing the cud. Now, you guys know what a cud really is, right? How many stomachs does a cow have? Four. He swallows, and then chews it again, swallows, again and again. In other words, going over, chewing it and chewing it and chewing it, getting all of the nutrients out of it. That's what God wants us to do with his word. He wants us to chew on it. There are passages in the scripture, brothers, that I've read 100 times, and yet the circumstance might be such, I read it, I never saw that before. It jumps out at it because the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of bone and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what That's why God's word is so precious to us. That's why Dave Verbum says God resides in the word as he does in the Eucharist. Oh boy, how about that? We've got it all over any Baptist. No Baptist would say that about God's word. But that's what we believe. We believe it because the Holy Spirit has said so through the church. You know, cultivation involves a lot of work. We don't get that fruit, at least not good fruit, just by hoping for the best. What does a farmer do with his fruit tree? The scripture even tells us, digs around it, puts fertilizer in it, takes care of it, makes sure that it gets water, sprays it if necessary to get the bugs off it. In other words, if we want our fruit to grow, we have to cultivate it, brothers. It's not going to just pop up. Well, how does that relate to us? We need to place ourselves in an environment of faith. We need to be planted, if you will, in a place where that fruit of the Holy Spirit can grow, where there's other fruit trees, if you will, that are also growing alongside us. Luke chapter 8, the sower went forth to sow his seed. Some of it fell along the path, and what happened? Birds picked it up. Who do the birds represent? The devil. The devil comes along and snatches the word away. Some fell on rocky ground, pops up, and then what happens when the sun comes out? What does that represent? It represents the flesh. How easy it is for us to get started. How easy it is for us to get excited. But as has often been said, can you maintain it? 2 weeks, 5 weeks, 5 months, a year. That's the test of fruit, the fruit tree that is still bearing fruit 20, 35 years later. Some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it. What does that represent? The world. The world that comes along and just pulls us away. Oh, but it's so many good things that I'm doing. As Denny Kehoe once said, the good is always the enemy of the best. Got that? The good will always be the enemy. Satan's too smart to try to tempt you with some out-and-out sin to get away from God's plan. He'll tempt you with something that looks good. Of course he will. He respects your intelligence too much to try to tempt you out otherwise. He goes a little bit at a time, just like the ACLU. Whoops, that was a paid political announcement. But some fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. That's what I want to do. I want to yield fruit for years to come. 30 years from now, or however long God still gives me, I want to be here saying, brothers, I'm still bearing fruit. And I want you guys to be bearing fruit too. Amen? Yes? Yes. Bob, please pass those out. Grab a helper or two if you need them. These are some passages on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is a way in which Jesus is revealed to us, because part of the Spirit's job is to reveal the Trinity to us and reveal especially the Son. Jesus made it pretty clear. Part of the reason you don't get what I'm doing is that the Spirit hasn't been given. So what I would like you brothers to do is to... Yeah, I'm right on time. Not bad, Jim. How about that? I'm going to end right at 4:30. What I want you to do is to look these passages over, and in the half hour that we have, ask the Lord prayerfully, come before him and ask him, Lord, what fruit do I need to grow in? Like, Vinny, what might be a fruit on there that the Lord might say? Just pick a fruit at random. Goodness. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Perhaps the Lord might want you to grow in patience, the passage that Jim was referring to. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, or some translations say its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, I'm not saying this to try to impress you. I'm just trying to show you, you can memorize these scriptures, and putting them in our hearts is the way of letting them be part of our life, because in order to memorize them, you have to understand it. You can't just memorize a whole bunch of sounds. So your exercise for the next half hour is pray, ask the Lord, what fruit do I need to grow in? Pick a passage from there and memorize it. Hints for memorizing. Repeat it to yourself several times. Close your eyes and try to repeat it. If you have an old technology called a pencil, you can write it down. Writing it down four or five times is a great way. The action of making other parts of our body use it helps it. But brothers, if a guy who failed second semester inorganic chemistry at the University of Michigan, sorry, Chris LeBeau, I know that shames you, but if I can fail inorganic chemistry and still memorize scripture, so can you. So let us take this opportunity to put the word in our heart, to memorize it. And then at dinner, at Lord's Day, at some point at your dinner table, ask one another, what scripture did you memorize? And you can have dessert if you. But take some time, pray, ask the Lord to do it. And let me just pray a prayer over all of you right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these men that inspire me, that want to follow you and want to put the word deep in their heart. Lord, give them your Holy Spirit in great measure. Through the interaction with your word, I pray that you would put your truth deep in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, may we be men on fire with love for you, who fear nothing but sin, who desire to give ourselves completely to the work of preaching the gospel. Make us urgent in season and out of season. May all that we say and do, Lord, be for the glory of God. And may many, many men and women come to know and love your son, Jesus, through our actions, through our words, through our prayers. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, King, and Savior. And all the men of God said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.